have another little video clip. Today, the 10th anniversary, we're remembering those who died on 9/11, whose life was taken. And this is pretty gripping. And then the message is going to follow this little video. Is that correct, Raj? Okay. 2,977 innocent people died on September 11th, 2001. 2606 in the World Trade Center, 87 on American Flight 11, 60 on United Flight 175, 125 in the Pentagon, 59 on American Flight 77, and 40 people on United Flight 93. 411 of these victims were emergency workers, heroes. 341 from the New York Fire Department. 2 New York paramedics, 23 police officers, 37 Port Authority police officers, 8 private EMTs. And these are their names.
Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. Tonight, I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Thank you, Raj. Appreciate that. Got a message this morning coming at you. We're going to roll with it. Amen? Sort of gripping, isn't it? We forget sometimes of little kids whose moms and dads were taken. You know, it's like we've moved on. They haven't. You know what I'm saying? Sure you do. And I know you didn't come to church. Oh, man. Didn't come to church for this. Well, yeah, you did. Amen? We need to have a heart of compassion for people and love people and care for people's pain. And they need to know, as they're hurting, there's people all over this country that's hurting with them today. Amen? Got a special message this morning. Let's look at it before we get started. At 9:44 a.m., Flight 93 passenger Todd Beamer attempted to call his wife Lisa from the onboard air telephones. Instead, he reaches GTE airphone operator Lisa Jefferson. They talked for a total of 13 minutes. He tells her details about the hijacking. That he could not tell if the pilot and co-pilot were alive or dead. She tells Beamer of the two flights that had crashed into the World Trade Center. He then tells her about his wife, kids, and the one they were expecting on the way. The plane begins to lurch as the hijackers have now taken the controls. Beamer becomes excited and fears that we're going down. As the plane levels off, he asks Jefferson to call his wife if he didn't survive. He asks her to tell them that he loved them. He then asks the following. Can you please recite the Lord's Prayer with me? Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the ride gets more bumpy, he yells, Lisa, Lisa. She tells him she'll be there as long as he's there. Beamer then tells her that he and some other passengers had decided to try and take back the plane. They all knew about the other flights being used as missiles. They had to do something and had planned their own assault. Beamer then laid down the phone and left the line open. Lisa Jefferson then heard Beamer say the following. God help me. Say that with me. God help me. Jesus help me. Are you ready? Okay. Are you guys ready? Can we say that? I'm talking about, I would like you just to come out of your religion this morning just a little bit with me and scream those words right there about as loud as you can scream them. Here we go. One, two, three. Let's roll! I like that. Amen? That's the title of my message this morning. Let's roll. Let's roll. Okay? What do you preach on 9/11? I tend to know what I would probably be thinking if I was in a room of people who had lost all their loved ones on 9/11 or something like that. It'd be different. That's not our situation. Okay? So what do I speak on? Now, I'm going to tell you what a lot of people did. A lot of preachers did this. And a lot of people you see on TV, preachers on television, mass like that. When 9/11 happened, they went to their Bible, many of them, and tried to pull out verses of Scripture and prove this was something that God did. Y'all remember that or not? Say, kooky people. The kookiest profession is my profession. Crazy people. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Are y'all alive or what? Okay, listen. Now, I know it's been a somber time up to this point, but now we're going to roll, all right? So I'm going to be louder, and it's going to be a different message, okay? So don't sit there and be crying. Y'all get up. Y'all ready? Say. You okay? Say. Let's roll! That's what I'm talking about. You just holler that at me if we get down a little weak in the knees today. Amen? Here we go. But no, I'm not going to preach something like that. Pull a verse out of Scripture over here or say this happened here or whatever. Because, are you kidding me? That's the craziest kind of thing in the world. And if you do that as a Christian, the Bible's not a Ouija board. Say that with me. The Bible is not a Ouija board. One more time. The Bible ain't a Ouija board. You understand? I wonder why that happened. Oh, here it is in the Bible. There's plenty of stuff that has happened, as the Bible said, like Jesus coming, etc. We're going to talk about. But also there's things that's going to happen in the future that the Bible says. But to be honest with you, you and I, we are just men and women, and we just really don't have all that figured out. Y'all got that right, don't you say? You don't have any special knowledge from God. He didn't come to your house last night and tell you everything's going to happen. Y'all realize that, don't you say? Are you cool with that or not? So I'm not going to give you a kooky message like that today. But I'm going to be kooky because I can't help it. How many learned the Ten Commandments with me a few weeks ago? Here's the question. Was it kooky? Good. Do you know them? Good. So just let me be kooky and you might learn something today. All right? You cool? Here's what I thought. What do I speak on, Lord? And so I went to the New Testament. And I looked at the different books in the Bible, in the New Testament, that have at least 9 chapters. And I wanted to look at verse 11 of every book in the New Testament. Does that mean it has something to do with 9/11? No. You understand that, right? What it means is your preacher's kooky. And that I like to study the Bible and look at the Bible from unique perspectives sometimes. And so I'd like for you to know the 9/11s of the New Testament. Wouldn't you like to just know that? Just because you can say you know them? Amen? Say. The 9/11s from the New Testament. So I'm going to teach you today the 9/11s from the New Testament. You ready to learn them? There's 10 of them. The 9/11s from the New Testament. Let's look at it. Here we go, Raj. You got to help me now. Here's the first one. I'm this crazy. We'll go ahead and start at the back. Let's take the last one first. Revelation 9/11. What is the last 9/11 in the New Testament? The last book in the Bible. What does it say and who's it about? And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Wonder who that verse is talking about. Satan, the devil. Okay? So the last 9/11 in your Bible talks about who? Satan, the devil. Those words up there, you see them funky words right there? Those words mean destroyer, destructive one. Okay? That's who Satan is. He's a destroyer. He's a destructive one. And here's what I thought sitting in my office. The devil's been deceiving, hijacking, and destroying people's lives since way back in the Garden of Eden. It didn't start 10 years ago. Y'all listening this morning, say. Didn't start 10 years ago. That's still him. He's still at work. He's still evil. He's still wicked. But way back in the garden, he got into Adam and Eve's life and said, God surely hadn't said, he didn't surely say, if you eat of that fruit, you'll die. Sure. No. No. Here's the question. Did they? Yes. And since that time, this planet's been a world of hurt. Amen? It explains every bad thing that's ever happened. There are bad people that live on this planet. There are sinners that live on this planet. And guess what? You and I are part of them. And we're sinners. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Say it with me, for all have what? Sinned. See, that was Satan way back when, wreaking havoc on the human race. Have I lost you on that so far? He's a destroyer. He's a destroyer. And here's how you can know you're a sinner. Because I meet people sometimes that think they're all high and mighty. Here's how you can know you're a sinner. One day, you're going to die. Yeah. It's appointed and a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. If you're not a sinner, you won't die. I've done a lot of funerals. Amen? We've all sinned, haven't we, church? Haven't we all sinned? Come on. See? The wages of sin is death. That's what you get. You sin, you're a sinner, the pay is death. We're all going to die one time. But the Bible teaches there are two deaths. A lot of people don't know this. The Bible teaches there's a second death. Say that with me. Second death. And you don't have to die the second death. You have zero choice on that first one. Because you're a what? Sinner. But wait a minute. I ain't stupid. So I don't have to die the second one. Because Jesus Christ came and I can put my faith in Him. And He'll give me eternal life. Or I can go live with that wicked one in Revelation 9:11, who's a destroyer who wants my soul, but he ain't getting it because he ain't my daddy anymore. You understand that? Yes or no? See the difference? Now, we're all going to die once, but you're only stupid if you die twice. Say I'm stupid if I die twice. Come on, I'm
stupid. If I die twice, you're just stupid. You come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm going to die twice. You see if I don't call you stupid to your face. Amen? Come on. The wages of sin is death, but, say it with me, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, the last 9-11 in the New Testament talks about who? Satan. He is the destroyer. So now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to roll back to Matthew. We're going back to the beginning of the New Testament. Now you're not going to be here all through lunch because you know football starts today. Have y'all noticed how my preaching gets shorter in football season? How many notices it doesn't? It never does. You're right. It does not. Don't even think about it. Here we go, baby. Hey, listen. Let's go back to Matthew and learn the 9-11s. Do we have the last one down? Say. The last one talks about the devil, who is the destroyer. Okay? Did he start hijacking 10 years ago? Huh, no, he hijacked the human race way back when in the garden. Got it? Now let's go to Matthew. The 9-11s of the New Testament, you know what I found when I read them? I read every one of them. Almost all of them talk about Jesus, or something to do with Jesus, or something about victory. I'm like, wow, I believe that'll preach. Let's try it. Let's look at them. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew 9:11. So class, here we go. It's not that hard. You don't have to have a degree in this because the verses are all 9 what? So you got that much down, right? Here we go. You say, I don't know the Bible. Can you say 9:11 with me? 9:11. So you know the chapter and the verse. Here we go. Matthew 9:11. I put up the word people when I was writing this message. And when the Pharisees saw it, when they saw that Jesus called Matthew a tax collector, a publican, a sinner man to walk with him and be a part of his group, when they saw that, they said unto his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? And you know what? Immediately when I read that verse in my office, I thought the word people. Jesus loves people. Did you know that? Satan came in the garden to destroy our lives. Jesus Christ came because he loves people. That's why he came. Right out of the gate in the New Testament, verse 9-11, Jesus loves people. He loves you so much. Can you remember that? Say, Matthew is about people. Jesus loves, say it with me, people. People. I know it's going to be hard on you. I believe you can do it. Jesus loves who? People. That's Matthew 9:11. Let's look at Mark. So I flipped over to Mark. Now this one's crazy. It's a little harder. I had to read before, after, back, forth, up, down to make sure I was saying the right thing. Mark 9:11. I put down the word, say it with me, prophecy. The word prophecy means predicted ahead of time. Predicted ahead of time. Way before time, Jesus Christ was predicted. Mark 9:11, they ask him, saying, what says the scribes that Elias must first come? And it's just questions the disciples are asking him in this passage of Scripture. But the point is that Jesus said, and I believe, seems to be speaking here, that Messiah will come. There'll also be a forerunner who will come. Who was that forerunner's name? John the who? Yeah. And he said, the Son of Man will be rejected as his message was rejected. You understand? And so, it was prophesied. Don't let me go put you to sleep now. It's a little deep. Hang on. The first one, Matthew talks about Jesus loves who? Mark talks about prophecy. Jesus was prophesied to be despised and rejected. Jesus Christ didn't come to this planet and all of a sudden, oops, they're after me. He came knowing that he was going to die. You understand? He came to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. He says, no man takes my life from me. I lay down my life. No man takes my life from me. He did this because he wanted to. It was predicted. It was prophesied. Isaiah, here's the prophecy. Here's one of many, many, many I could have put on screen. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Would you say this last part with me? And the Lord hath laid on the iniquity of us all. So Matthew, Jesus loves people. Mark, prophecy. It was prophesied. I tried to keep them P's so you can learn. Easier. It was prophesied that he would come and die and take your place. Why? Because the last Revelation 9-11, remember the destroyer? He hijacked the human race. Got it? Let's look at the next one. Luke 9-11. Physician. Say that with me. Physician. The 9-11s of the New Testament. And the people, when they knew it, they followed him. They followed Jesus. And he received them. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God. I love this last part. And healed them that had need of what? Healing. Jesus Christ is our great what? You listening? He's our great what? Physician. That's who he is. He's our great physician. Look at what Luke 18 says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to, say that with me, heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want you to really say that with me right here. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. One more time. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. I want to tell you something. I had a hard week this week. One of the hardest weeks I've had in months. I just had a hard week. It wasn't hard because somebody else had it hard. It's hard because I had it hard. My heart was hurting. My heart was breaking this week. But I'm going to tell you something. I just kept telling God, you're good to me. You've never been bad to me. People have hurt me, but you've never been bad to me. People are inconsiderate, hurtful, but you're not. You're good to me, God. 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 He's the healer of my broken heart. If you'd have seen me a couple of days ago, you'd probably go, I don't know if Clark can even make it up on Sunday here. But it's amazing. When you give your life to him, regardless of your pain, you reach out to him. Don't make him the bad guy. He's not. He's the healer of your broken heart. You understand? Yes or no? We get that screwed up sometimes because, see, Satan hijacks our head sometimes too and wants us to make us think that God, no. God's good all the time. We just live on a crazy planet, right? He heals the brokenhearted. See, I'm not going to forget that Luke one because this week he's been my great physician. No, he heals other stuff too, but the biggest thing I think he heals on this planet right now is your broken heart. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Let's look at the fourth one. Don't go to sleep on me. Somebody hit somebody. Come on. John 9:11. If you know your Bible, John 9:11 is a man born blind from birth, and Jesus heals him. Comes along, spits on some dirt, pops it on his eyeballs. Boom, the boy sees. And then the scribes and the Pharisees, those that hate Jesus, come to this dude who can now see and says, how'd that happen to you, Jack? And he answered and said, a man that's called Jesus. Boy, that was like cussing to them. Made clay. He anointed my eyes. He said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. Woo! You know what I put up there? Purpose. I remember where I was, who I was when Jesus Christ came into my life. Hell-raising teenager in Rockingham, North Carolina with a drunk mama, didn't have a car, had nothing. Almost like this church. We started with nothing. That's how I was in Rockingham, too. You know what I'm saying? Boy, he lifted me up. He took me out of that miry clay. He set my foot on a solid rock. Amen. I'm telling you what. And he gave purpose to my life. You know what I'm saying? And I get hurt and down just like you do. But when I come back to my senses, I realize I have purpose in my life. You know what I'm saying? I have purpose to serve Him and to love Him, to walk and to hold my head up and to touch and to help and talk to folk. Amen? Purpose. Boy, he touched this old blind boy and he was off and running. Amen? He had some purpose in his life. Jesus gives purpose to my life. So Matthew, people. Mark, prophecy. Luke, physician. John, purpose. Boy, y'all are sleeping. Then again called they the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. I'll be talking about this man, Jesus. Give God the praise. We know this man's a sinner. He answered and said this. I love this. He said, listen, boys, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know is this. I was blind, sit with me, and now what? That's what I'm talking about. You can call him anything you want to. All I know is I got to change life. Praise the Lord. Come on. You ought to do something this morning. Amen. Come on. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know why that's on the screen? Because John Newton wrote the song from this passage of Scripture. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was what? Blind, but now I see. Amen. Purpose. Purpose. Jesus Christ gives purpose to my life. Satan. Now, he's a hijacker. He's a destroyer. But all these other 9-11s, victory, good news. Amen? Are you listening? Get your head up. The 9-11s of the New Testament, well, they're good news, baby. And I tell you what, even that last 9-11 ain't bad news because he gets his tail kicked in the end. Amen? When you read your Bible. Acts 9-11, I got to fly. There was a man named Ananias in Acts chapter 9. There's a man named Saul that was evil. He got saved. He put his faith in Christ. He'd been a killer of Christians, remember? And there's a guy named Ananias who Jesus speaks to in a vision. And he wants him to take this wicked man who's now a believer and help him. How would you feel like having a murderer of Christians come into your house? Amen. And the Lord said unto him, unto Ananias, arise, say this with me, and go into the street which is called what? One more time. Go into the street which is called, otherwise known as Straight Street. One more time. Otherwise known as Straight Street. One more time. Otherwise known as Straight Street. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prays. Here's the word I wrote down. Power. 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 Did you know what? When Christ comes into your life, because he loves people. Amen. When he comes into your life and you have purpose in your life, when you follow him, I'm telling you, he'll give you the power to have a brand new life. He will give you the power to follow him, to obey him. I'm telling you what, you can do this thing. You can walk for Christ. You can live for God. And you can make it through all kinds of crap that comes in your life. It's incredible, the power of God in your life to follow him. And this was wild. This is a hard thing for this man to do. But if you want to walk straight street, you can. If you want to walk straight street, you can. If you want to follow Christ, you can. Quit being a whiner and just doing all that kind of mess. You can walk the walk. You can live the Christian life. Y'all hearing me? The problem is you're not living your Christian life because you don't want to. You hearing me? Yes or no? Absolutely. I got this and I can't help. I do this because you're a big baby. Excuse me. Quote me. Walk straight street. You can do this. Hey, I cussed worse than any of you in this room. All right? Listen, God can take that from you. I don't care what it is you're going through. God can help you. You've got to quit having that whiny mentality. You listening or not? Listen, straight street. He's a killer. I can't go see him. Straight street, boy, get there. And he did. And Saul became Paul and he turned the world upside down for Jesus, didn't he? Isn't it good that Ananias did what he was supposed to do? We have the New Testament because of this. Power. Jesus empowers me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. What's the next one? I know y'all think, oh my gosh, aren't you glad I'm not doing the Old Testament? Here we go. Romans 9:11. The word I wrote down in my office, promise. And this was another one that was tough on me. For the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purposes of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that what? Calls. Jesus is God's promise of mercy. Would you say that with me? Jesus is God's promise of mercy. You'll never get saved. You'll never come to God because of your works. You'll come to God because of the promise of His mercy. God gave you His beloved Son. And yet we're still crazy in our life. We still think we're going to earn this somehow. Aren't we nuts? Say. Man, you're on the plane that's going down. Jesus is the one that can save you, baby. You understand? The promise of God's mercy. Look at Galatians 4. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Say it with me. That we might receive what? The adoption of sons. And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a what? Servant, but a what? Son. And if a son, then a what? An heir of God through Christ. Amen? Promise. Romans 9:11. We're rolling. Let's roll. 1 Corinthians 9:11. I wrote the word preaching. You might wonder why. Because of the verse. Here's Paul writing. He says, if we've sown unto you spiritual things, if I've been preaching to you and sharing Christ with you and helping you come to know God and grow, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? What he was saying is, if I'm preaching to you and I'm serving you and if I'm helping you, is it a great thing if I ask you to support me financially? Is it a great thing if I ask you to provide us a room to meet in? Is it a great thing if I ask you to provide some food so that we can feed the people? If I'm doing this, my spiritual side, is it a great thing if I ask you to help with these other things? Preaching. It's important. Jesus commands us to what? Preach the gospel. You might say, Clark, why do you meet on Sunday morning? Why do you do what you do? It's because I've been commanded to. Well, where'd you hear? Did you hear that from God? Right from the Bible. Go into all the world, say it with me, and do what? Preach the gospel. That's what we're to preach. We're not to come here and me pat you on the head on Sunday morning. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to make you strong so you can go out in this world and you can share your faith with other people. Amen? And you can be real and not phony and be sincere in your faith. That's huge. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, craziness. But to us which are saved, it's the what? Power of God. And so guess what? If you believe in the preaching, which you ought to, support it. Amen? That's what that 9-11 says. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 9-11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us, say it with me, thanksgiving to God. The 2 Corinthians 9-11 is praise. Praise. Jesus is worthy of my what? Praise. Isn't it strange how all these 9-11s, just that one last one was the bad one. You know what I'm saying? But he whoops his tail there anyway. This is all really good stuff. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I'm to praise the Lord. That's one of the 9-11s. Amen? Now this is the next to the last one. Hebrews 9:11. Did y'all survive this today or what? All right. I doubt you're going to hear it anywhere else. It's crazy. Here we go. I wrote down the word priest. Say that with me. Priest. And I'm not talking about me or some priest at some church somewhere else. Uh-uh. I'm talking about Jesus. But Christ being come and high what? Priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Jesus, say it with me, is my what? How does that make you feel? Doesn't it make you feel good? Now, whether you like it or not, you don't find it in the Bible where you need to go sit behind a curtain and talk to some fellow. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Now, if that upsets you, fine, go get upset. I could care less. Show it to me in the Bible. Would you show it to me? Say. All right? And if I say, well, now you do this, and you'll be forgiven. No, I don't need to do any of that, because if I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I ask His forgiveness, I got it on the spot, jolly. You understand? Yes or no? That's what the Bible teaches. I'm trying to be ugly, but I have a high priest. Why should I get me a low priest when I got me a high priest? Say, why should you get you a low priest? Because that's what I am. I'm not just picking on somebody else. That's what I am. Why would you come up to me and confess your sins when I'm a low priest? I'm just like you. I'm screwed up just like you people. I'll tell you my sins. I'm going to go, well, I'll tell you mine. Amen. You hearing me? Yeah. Come on. That's craziness. Anyway, I got me a high priest, not a low priest, baby. Amen. Listen, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And because I have a high priest, look at this verse. Let us therefore, say it with me, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. I got a high priest. Amen? So what did we learn today? I learned that basically all the 9-11s in the New Testament are about Jesus. They're about His gospel. They're about Him giving me power to live my life and purpose in my life. Isn't that a cool thing just to know? I mean, if you want to know something, that's the 9-11s of the New Testament. Turning a tragedy into a triumph. Satan tried to hijack the human race and did a pretty good job of it. But Jesus Christ came and was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Jesus Christ has defeated Satan. Amen? That's the 9-11s of the New Testament. And I wrote them down right fast for us. Let's pop them all up, Raj. Jesus loves people. It was predicted that He would die for us. That's Mark. He would heal our broken hearts. That's Luke. He would give us sight. That's John. We would be His followers. That's Acts. He promised us His mercy, and He what? Delivered it. Now we preach the good news, and we're so thankful. And now we talk to Him all the time. I talked to Him this morning already. Amen? That is the message of 9-11 in your New Testament. Amen? I sort of liked it after we got done with it. I thought it was kooky when I started, but I think we learned something today. Amen? Let's praise the Lord. Come on. Praise God. Good stuff. Let's roll. Amen. Good stuff. Let's stand on up. If you're here, I know you're going to run out and watch that football game. If you do, I pray right now your team gets obliterated. Amen. I'm not going to be much longer. If you got to go to work, though, I understand. I got several of you do that work on Sunday, and I'm just glad you got a job, man. Thank you for coming and making church a priority. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. I like to let the message sink in. And we've had a lot of stuff today, a lot of emotions stirring in here. And we need to let Lord just work on us. And when we leave, just sort of take in what's happened today. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for these folk. Thank You for this county and that I get to come into this building and preach the gospel. Father, I thank You that over the many years, we've had people that believed in preaching, and they funded it. They paid for it. They put out because we're following Your command. Thank You for that, Father. I pray You'll bless the preaching of Your word today. Father, I pray as kooky maybe as it was to put this together, I pray, I know Your word will not return void. And we preached Your word today. And I pray that we'll hide this word in our heart, and maybe we'll try hard to remember some of these different 9-11, so that we can hide those in our heart. I pray that everybody in this room would know it's appointed unto them once to die, and after this the judgment. There's no way of getting out of that. I pray there'd be nobody stupid in the room today, knowing that they do not have to die that second death, but that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of their sins. It was prophesied, and He delivered on it. I pray today that they would know that He can save them, He can heal that broken heart, He can give them purpose in their life. God, I pray today there's not a soul in this room that would leave this place on 9-11 not being a believer in Christ.
Father, I pray you'll touch hearts. I pray everybody in this room would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.